Our reading is Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 20. Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may hear them, read, mark, and learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the hope of everlasting life that you have given us in your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes I think Christians can find it difficult to know what to do with this big chunk of our Bibles, the Old Testament that we've gone through the books of earlier on, especially in the light of Jesus. There are different ways that we can read what we call the Old Testament, those books from Genesis to Malachi. Usually the less read pages of our Bibles. We can treat them as some sort of preamble or prologue, which is somewhat necessary before we get to the good stuff of the New Testament. We can take them as a nice series of historical artifacts or moral lessons, or some people maybe even see them as a complete irrelevance. However, there is another way. And that is seeing it how Jesus saw it. And that was as an integral part of the gospel story. Seeing the Bible with Jesus being the goal of the story, from Genesis chapter 1 all the way through to Revelation chapter 22. This, I would suggest, is the way that Jesus read and understood the Bible. And it was the way that the early church read and understood the biblical story. And in our reading from the Sermon on the Mount, we have Jesus giving us perhaps the most significant passage in the Bible, helping us as his disciples today to understand how we can read the Bible. But Jesus' words here need some unpacking for us to fully appreciate the significance for our understanding of the biblical story. Jesus, in these words, I think is transitioning from his introduction to the sermon to the first aspect of what he wants to share. Having sat on the mountainside, a deliberate action like Moses on Sinai, Jesus comes here as the new lawgiver to his new covenant community, his disciples. And Jesus shares with his disciples a new way of understanding and living out the law of Israel. Something that he will flesh out in a series of examples in the rest of chapter 5, which begin with, "You have heard it was said." But here Jesus is revealing to his disciples the foundation of what he's going to say. The lens through which they can understand this revisioning of the law and the prophets. Jesus, all through his ministry, will be accused of disregarding the law. But he sets out his story here. Do not think I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them. First impressions can lead you to think that Jesus is saying you need to do everything in the Old Testament in order to be one of his followers. Sacrifices, food laws, circumcision, everything. But these are all things that the early church would soon say that are not necessary to be one of his followers. So it seems they didn't think that this was what Jesus was saying. So perhaps we shouldn't either. And as with many things, it all depends on one word and knowing what that one word means. And the one word in this case is fulfilled. The whole meaning of this passage hangs on the word fulfill. And this is one of the few words I can actually remember the original Greek word that's used in Matthew, pleroo, mainly because it's a lovely sounding word. And this word pleroo, or fulfill, stands in contrast in this sentence to the word abolish. Where abolish means to dismantle or destroy, fulfill means to complete or fully realize. Jesus is making an incredibly bold claim here. Jesus is saying that all that our Old Testament anticipated, predicted, was aimed towards, he fulfills. All the hopes and the promises of the law and the prophets, he fulfills, he completes, he fully realizes. All through the Gospels, we see Jesus fulfilling words of prophecy. That's where many uses of this word really come. In the Christmas story, we see this time and time again, as we thought about in our Christmas All Age drama. But also all through his life, he does this. All the way to his death, where the words of Isaiah are so poignantly fulfilled. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, the punishment that brought us peace on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Yet Jesus announces that all the words that have been spoken by God through his people come to fulfillment in his life. The kind of life that the law pointed towards is fulfilled. The forgiveness that sacrifices could never fully achieve is fulfilled. The holiness that mere wrong following could never hope to create within a person is fulfilled. All of this and much more comes to fulfillment in Jesus. Jesus is saying he's the one who makes sense of the biblical story from beginning to end, makes sense of it and brings it to life for all of us. And the rest of our reading is further elucidation of Jesus' plan. The law and the prophets remain authoritative, although their role for God's people will no longer be the same, because their interpretation will now be through the lens of Jesus. Jesus' followers will now discern how to follow the law and the prophets in the light of Jesus' teaching and practice, and eventually in the light of the discernment given by the Holy Spirit. When Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished," he's meaning that everything that is written will come to pass. It will not disappear, not even the smallest comma or apostrophe, because its fulfillment has appeared. It has become a reality in his life. The law and the prophets endure in Jesus and how he interprets and teaches them. And for those who follow Jesus, there will be consequences, which he reveals in verse 18. "Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commandments and teaches others accordingly will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Once again, Jesus is not saying that the way forward is through blindly following the law as a series of rules and obligations. He's saying if you follow the law as he interprets it and teaches it. This will be the way of his disciples. And if they manage to do that, they will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Those who only focus on rule keeping will be called the smallest, the least representative of the reign of God. Those who cause Jesus most trouble in relation to his keeping of the law will be the scribes and the Pharisees. For them, every detail of the law was precious. And they developed further legal traditions in addition to the law to protect it. Greater demands, more meticulous detail. They were staunch defenders of the law as a practical guide for holy living. Because of this, they were respected in the first century Jewish community. Jesus says in relation to them, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and scribes, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus is saying that the righteousness of his followers needs to be greater than those who were considered the most righteous in that culture. Now, once again, this wasn't the case of Jesus saying you need to be better at literal obedience to rule keeping than the scribes and the Pharisees. But this was the case of Jesus redefining what righteousness was all about. There was a new kingdom in town, and therefore there were new standards in this new kingdom. In the kingdom of God, you're going to need to move beyond the literal observance of rules, however good and scriptural they are, in order to please God. To please God, you need to be open to knowing and doing the will of God. You need to be open to following his Son wherever he leads. It's only when we move beyond seeking to please God through rule keeping that we will be true subjects of God's kingdom. Then you will be declared righteous in God. If all you can do is keep the rules, you haven't even started as far as the kingdom of heaven is concerned. This is a big claim that's made by Jesus. And it's a claim that only Jesus could make. And over the next few weeks, we're going to see how he comes to redefine the law and see that it's not about rule keeping, because it's about going beyond all the rules that were set out in Scripture. And he doesn't do it by making them easier. He does it by making it deeper. Making the law something that was prophesied by Jeremiah. "I will put the law in their minds and write it on their hearts," he says. It's not about laws written on tablets of stone. It's about God writing the law on our minds and our hearts. But what might this mean for our lives today? Well, in us understanding to some degree what Jesus means when he says, "Do not think I've come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them," this can be about how we better read our Bibles, how we better understand, and then live out what we read. As followers of Jesus, we all know it's important to read our Bibles. But if we are honest, we also acknowledge that it's not always easy to read our Bibles. Besides our fallible Bible reading habits, the Bible is not always an easy book to read. It can be difficult to understand what the Bible is saying, and that's to be expected on some levels. After all, we have a book here, of which the newest parts were written 1900 years ago. And our cultural values and patterns of language have changed dramatically in the centuries since. So it's foolish to think that we could just open any passage of the Bible and simply understand and apply every part of it to our lives today. The Bible can also be difficult to understand because we are conditioned in our reading of it. The Christian tradition that we've been formed in will shape how we understand the Bible. Be it Baptist, Pentecostal, Anglican, the norms of a tradition will shape how we interpret what we read in the Bible, what we've been told what the Bible says. The culture we're raised in will shape how we read the Bible. Someone raised in the 1950s will not read the Bible in the same way as someone raised in the 1990s. Someone raised in the UK will not read this Bible in the same way as someone raised in Nigeria. Our emotions as we read the Bible will shape how we read it. We will understand something differently to how we read it when we are sad or depressed. Our wants and desires will shape how we read the Bible. Whether we ask God through His Spirit to come and be with us as we read the Bible will shape how we read it. Yet we'll also find the Bible difficult to read because of the bits we do understand. Because they can challenge the way we want to live our lives. Mark Twain is attributed with the saying, "It ain't those parts of the Bible that I can't understand that bother me, it's the parts that I do understand." What we need to do is find a way to allow the Bible to be the Bible and speak to us as Jesus desires. Speak to us in a way that allows Jesus to be the one who fulfills the words from the Bible from beginning to end in our lives. Todd Billings wrote, In reading the Bible as scripture, we are not the masters. We are being mastered and enlivened by God. We need to approach reading the Bible as disciples of Jesus, not as masters of scripture. We need to bring a humility to our reading of the Bible, an openness to being surprised, a commitment to letting Jesus be seen as the fulfillment of every part of the biblical story as we come to read it. We can approach reading the Bible remembering that Jesus makes a difference and transforms the story of the whole Bible, not just the New Testament. He fulfills, completes, fully realizes all the story of the Bible and all that is geared to all. The Word became flesh means that the whole Word of God is alive for us today. Jesus redeems our reading of the Bible. How then can we read the Bible as followers of Jesus? We can read the Bible by looking for Jesus on every page. Asking God through His Spirit to reveal the ways that Jesus is revealed to us through the words on the page. How Jesus fulfills those words. Being open to knowing and doing the will of the Father as a consequence of reading them. It's easy for us to slip into keeping the letter of the law mindset in our discipleship. There's something in humanity that likes to follow the rules. But in Christ, we have been given freedom to follow the law that has been written on our hearts by the Spirit. And to seek that new heart where the Spirit is weaving the law of Christ through our lives. And that is part of meeting Jesus through the reading of Scripture. It can sound like hard work, but the reality is that Jesus has done all the hard work, because Jesus always does all the hard work. We just need to learn and trust the promptings of God to direct and guide us in His ways, be open to the guidance of His Spirit and open to the revelation of Christ in our midst. To read and understand Scripture in the light of Jesus is how we allow Jesus to be the fulfillment of Scripture. Because Christ is the one who brings unity to the message of the Bible. John Stott writes this in his book, Understanding the Bible. The Bible is primarily a book neither of science nor literature nor philosophy, but of salvation. The salvation for which the Bible instructs us is available through faith in Christ Jesus. Therefore, since Scripture concerns salvation, and salvation is through Christ, Scripture is full of Christ. Jesus himself thus understood the nature and function of our Bible. The Scriptures, he said, testify about me. Our Saviour, Jesus Christ, in terms of promise and fulfillment, is Scripture's unifying theme. we can approach the Bible as followers of Jesus in a way so that our Bible reading reveals how Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all the words God has inspired to be gifted to us for our encouragement, instruction and inspiration. May God write the story of the Bible across our lives as we read and meet Jesus through the reading of his word. Amen.